Glory to God. Psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Whenever you come to God's presence, you come with a heart to learn. You come with a heart to receive. You come with that heart that is receptive to the word of God. Praise God. Don't trade this love for anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't trade this love for anything. Don't spend the rest of your life with a person who is not interested in the rest of his life in God. Don't. It's not worth it. Tell anybody it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Everyone around you, your friends, your closest friends, your intimate friends, they have to be people who understand this law. Any other person, you set trap and let your trap catch them into this love. You know how you set traps? So you know, just know some of those your friends are setting trap. Love trap will soon catch them. So you bring them in and drown them with the love of Jesus. Help them feast on the love of Jesus. Are we here together, church? Glory to God. I want to speak to you something very important tonight. I want you to pay attention. I believe that this is instructive. This is going to bless somebody tonight. This is going to help somebody find direction tonight. Are we here together? Praise God. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about safeguarding your destiny by the power of purpose. You know, this period I've been talking about purpose, and I've been on the journey, you know, and discovering God's purpose for your life. So I want to speak this evening. By the time we're done with our teaching on the purpose, we'll be launching into the 20 days of glory. Yes. And as we're wrapping up the 20 days of glory, I'll be taking another teaching series on how to mature spiritually. It will help you. This is what you need. It's our year of what? Purposeful impact. So I'm intentionally picking the areas that I know will create a lasting impression in your life, in your heart. Forever and ever you cherish this. Amen. So safeguarding your purpose, by your destiny by the power of purpose. I want to remind you that everyone on the face of the earth is here for an assignment. I want to remind you. In case you have forgotten, I also want to tell you that there's no person that is living on the face of the earth that is not here for a reason. Every single person is here for a reason. Some people, their reasons are attached to something good. Some other people, their reasons, whatever reasons, are attached to something bad. And God speaking said, I have raised up Pharaoh. I don't know why. He said, but I have raised up Pharaoh so that my wrath will be seen in him. He will be hardened and I will reveal my wrath. The essence of his creation is so that he will be the man in place to see my anger. I don't know why. But see, I'm not always focused on that negative part of purpose, because I believe that God's plan is to draw us to his son Jesus Christ. And because God is drawing us to his son Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 becomes very instructive, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Our assignment is to do the good works that God had already written about us. And I told you that your life is a book. Are we here together? Every life is a book. The Bible already makes that clear. If we have book of remembrance for everybody, everybody has book of remembrance. There's a book that records what you're doing here, who you are, what you're supposed to be. So there's a book that already has everything you're supposed to do. Now, what God is checking in the book is alignment, how you're aligning. Are we here together? I want you to pay attention to this teaching, because after this teaching, some people will be very humble enough in their hearts to make a U-turn. It might be very strong, but you just have to. I try to make it as simple as I can. Our purpose in life is said to be our essence, our reason. You may need to know again that the only guarantee of divine provision is alignment with divine position. The only guarantee for divine provision is alignment with divine position. If you have not aligned with your divine positioning, if you have not aligned with your divine purpose, your provision is not guaranteed. That means you will not be able to access God's resources to run your life. Every life is God's investment. It's like a business. You need resources to run it. And the only way you can get allocation to run your life is when you are in alignment with God's purpose. You cannot wear an NYSC uniform when you are not serving as a core member and go and collect alawi. Nobody will give you. What's your problem? That you are wearing uniform is not guaranteed that you are. You must have gone through the process. You must be in alignment. You would have been there. Your name would have been in the book. Then they will say, okay, we know you. We mark and say, take. Money will not drop in your account for 1 year period if you have not done anything that deserves that. Am I making sense here? So also, the assurance that you have that your life is safe and secured is if you continually walk in God's purpose. Any life that is outside purpose is not secure. Any life that is outside purpose is not safe. Any life that is not in God's plan and purpose, there's no guarantee what tomorrow will be like. A songwriter wrote a song and he said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Not because I can just face tomorrow. No, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It is because he lives that my fears are gone. Why? I know that he holds my future. I know that I am walking in line. I know that I am walking in his will and plan for my life. Let nothing take you away from the will of God. I'm sure that I will find time after the end of the message to pray three solid prayer points properly crafted for tonight. Are we here together? Yes. Because God's purpose cannot be defeated. He ensures that he preserves the bearer of the assignment. And that's why I told you that the person who is supposed to do the work, if the person decides not to align, the person can be substituted. In God's system, there's what we call substitution reaction. So if a person is not fitting into God's plan and purpose for their life, they can be substituted. But the purpose will remain. At worst, if the person says, I'm not ready again, I'm not sure. Yes, God's purpose will still be established. The person might not be the one to do it. Abraham's father was supposed to leave his father's house and move to Canaan. And he settled in Haran. And God said, why did you settle? He said, okay, no problem. Since you have settled, the next generation will continue the journey. So it was his father that was supposed to be on journey, on an assignment to that place where he stopped. In other words, in Abraham's family, they have what we call setback, family setback. Probably you look at it and trace their life that these guys have setback because the father refused to move. He was always stopping, they start and they don't finish. But Abraham entered a covenant with God and he chose to align with his purpose. He chose to stay with what God was saying. He was ready to do anything that God would tell him to do. And God said, because of that, you will finish well. And truly, you and I know that Abraham finished well. True or false? A man of purpose is fearless because he or she understands that heaven has their backing. Heaven is backing a man of purpose. Heaven assigns security officers to go around with a man of purpose. A man of purpose is a bearer of the divine assignment. A man who is on course for God cannot be cursed by any man. A man who is on assignment for God cannot be detained by any man. If they try, he will unlock the prison and set them free. Why? Because you are carrying God's own purpose. Tell your neighbor, carry God's purpose. Walk in it. If you are a bearer of the divine destiny, you cannot be frustrated. Nobody can destroy you just like that. Why? Because you are in a covenant with God. You have agreed with him to do what he has said. So he assigns his angels to keep charge, to keep watch over you. And that's the reason why purpose is very important and central, that everyone should ensure that they pursue God's purpose for their life. Regardless of how interesting the other things may be, regardless of what is in vogue, regardless of what is in town, pursue God's purpose for your life. Are we here together, church? Is it making some sense to you? I understand that in law, everybody's illustrations stems from where they're coming from. So sometimes I try to look for everything to explain things, but that's just where I can find my bearing. I was meant to understand, it taught us that when a person is on assignment for an organization, you are doing something for your organization. So they gave you a car to go with. And while going with that car, you had an accident. Am I making sense here now? You will not have to pay for the car. You are not the one that will bear the liability. Am I making sense here now? You will not. Why? Because you are on the company's assignment. You are doing something that you are sent. You are doing something that is not just your own. Now, if you are doing that thing and anything goes wrong, the company will come and they will indemnify whoever it is. That is, they will pay back whoever the person is. If it's an insurance, whatever it is, whichever way, just know that we are the ones. Don't worry, we're in charge. So you don't have to panic. You will not panic and say, what is this? Where's my life? No, you don't have to. All you just check is that you are safe. Am I safe? Fine. Okay. They take care of everything. But if the company has not sent you and you carry their car and you are going out on your Saturday for your OAME, and anything happens to you, do you understand what I'm saying now? Anything happens to you as you're going, who's going to pay? You pay. It's your own personal thing because you're going on your own frolic. Nobody sent you. The reason many people are paying dearly for a lot of things in their life, they are going on their frolic. They are on their own. Nobody's backing them. A man of purpose has divine backing. A man of purpose has assurance that the angels called goodness and mercy, they are following him. Goodness and mercy are not just words, they are angels. When they follow you, your life will never be the same. Are we here together, church? Do you understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? Proverbs chapter 27 verse 8. Control room, you help me with amplified version. Then if you can find the Aramaic Bible or any other one, you can also help me. Let's read it together. I want to go, everyone. Like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is with its comfort and safety, so is a man who wanders from his home. Look at it, read it again. It must sink. This thing has not entered. You don't understand it yet. If I give you mic to explain this plan, you won't get it. So read it again. Like a bird, Okay, give us another translation, then you will come back to this one. Give us another translation. Like a bird that is falling from his nest is one who is dislodged from where? Anyone away from home is like a bird away from his what? And the bird away from his nest is vulnerable. Can enter any other nest. If you leave your nest, you enter a net. Your purpose is your nest. If you leave it, you enter a net. And you can be trapped forever. Like a bird, listen now, that wanders from its nest. The nest of the bird is the place of its comfort. It's the place of its safety. It's the place of its sustenance. It's the place of its rest. Your purpose is the place of your rest. It's the place of your safety. By God's design, it's the place of your comfort. If you wander out of your purpose, you are like a bird that has left its nest. And whatever happens, it's your business. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a man who has wandered from his place. If you check the King James Version, I think. And your purpose is your place, the place of your assignment, the place of your calling. As a bird that wandered from her nest, so is a man that wandered from his purpose. So is a man that wandered from his assignment. So is a man that wandered from his place of divine calling. So is a man that wandered from the place of his service. You know, I like that song and I usually will sing it from time to time. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. You always, if you do your part, nothing in this wild world can pleasure the poor. There's peace and contentment in serving the Lord. Then the songwriter went here and there at the end of the day, he said that I'll be a good soldier, I'll die at my post. I bet it's better to die at your post than be at another man's. If you die at another man's post, nobody will pay you for that. Who sent you? Please, I create this awareness consciously because I have an assignment to help every single person understand that even pending when you discover what exactly you are called for, you should be restless until you discover it. To be comfortable outside purpose is foolishness. How can you be comfortable in the place where you are not supposed to be? You are outside of your nest and you are comfortable. No, your place of comfort is your nest. Your place of comfort is your nest. Your place of safety is your nest. Your place of security is your nest. Where you are assured that your allocation will come is your nest. If little eaglets are not in the nest, when the mother eagle comes, they will not get food. They have to be right there in the nest so that when the mother eagle comes, they will get their meal. If God does not meet you at the place of your assignment, what you will hear is, where are thou? God wasn't looking for Adam in the Garden of Eden. He wasn't lost. Was he lost? Does God's eye not see everything all over the world? But he came to the Garden of Eden, and the first question he asked is what? Adam, where are thou? What was he trying to say? You have left your nest. This is not where you're supposed to be. Where are you? And Adam left his place of comfort, left his place of assignment, left his place of calling, and he began to hide. He started hiding. Why was he hiding? He had left his place of calling. You will not leave your place of calling. You will not be out of your place of assignment. The reason you miss your allocation is if you're not in a place of assignment. The reason you miss good plans for your life is when you're not in a place of assignment. The reason you miss quality relationships, destiny relationships for your life is when you're not in a place of assignment. In the place of your assignment, correct business people that will partner with you, correct business partners, marital partner, destiny partners, they will meet you there. There's a place that you're supposed to be. Say your neighbor, there's a place you're supposed to be. If you are in the wrong place, you can't meet the right people. Did you hear what I just said? Can't be in the wrong place and meet the right people. You have to be in the right place to meet the right people. Are we here together, church? Like a bird that has strayed from its nest, so is a man, so is a woman that has left their home, their place of calling. If you leave your place, you become vulnerable. If you leave your place, you are open to the devil. If you leave your place, you are open to mockery. If you leave your place, you are open to attack. If you leave your nest, anything can happen out there. But once you are in your nest, you are assured. You are relaxed. You have rest. You have peace. And so I prophesy to somebody under the sound of my voice, the peace that staying in your purpose brings, I declare you are beginning to see and experience that peace in your life in the name of Jesus. I did hear your amen louder. Working in divine purpose gives you assurance of divine preservation. Preservation of your life, preservation of your destiny. When you follow God's direction and plan for your life, you escape destruction. The devil cannot do anything about a man that is on assignment for God. The devil knows those who are on assignment. Several times, many things will happen, but you cannot do anything about them because they are on the Lord's assignment. They are on a mission for God. Are we here together, church? Like a bird that wanders from his nest is a man who has wandered from his purpose. Your place, your purpose, your calling is your place of rest. That's why you see a lot of people struggling today. They're struggling. They're trying hard. They're trying. They do everything that they can. It's not just. They are just frustrated. They are confused. They are devastated. They are. Help me with some adjectives. There's preservation when you are walking within God's divine call for your life. Heaven is under obligation to preserve you. Heaven has an assignment. Heaven has, when David went out to fight Goliath, he did not need to announce. He did not need a prayer point. He was an assignment. And he declared his assignment very well. He looked at the guy and said, "Who art thou, uncircumcised Philistine, standing against the armies of the living God? You come to me with a sword and with everything." He said, "But I do not come to you even with my sling. I come to you in the name of the Lord my God, the God of the armies of Israel that you have defied." When the devil standing against you hear that voice, they know the voice of a man of purpose. They give way. As soon as Goliath was ranting, David did not think of going back. Men of purpose don't retreat when they should not. Because he understands that if this guy goes down, the purpose of God will be fulfilled over Israel. Israel will not go into slavery. He knows he was on the right course. He could bet, he could tap his heart and say, "I know that this is God's will. I am in it." That's why he stood there. So when everything was happening, David ran towards him. And because he knew in his heart that God will never forsake him, God will not forsake. A man of purpose is assured of safety. Any assignment that he sends you, he will back you up. Any assignment that he gives you, he will ensure that you will get to the finish point. I pray you will not carry another man's assignment. You will not be busy on what you should not be busy with. You will not be busy with something that has no business with your life. I didn't hear you say louder amen to that. When you fail to stay with or within your purpose, you are like a bird that has strayed from its nest, and the results can be very disastrous. There is preservation when you're working within your God divine, when you're working within your God's divine call for your life. Heaven is under obligation to preserve you. As soon as Samson wandered away, I gave you Samson's illustration last 2 weeks, Danon. As soon as Samson wandered away from his purpose, Samson's purpose was supposed to be fighting the Philistines and defeating them, and every time he would fight with them, he will beat them. Samson does not need anything special. He doesn't need anything special to beat the Philistines. He was designed to beat them. In the place of your purpose, you don't struggle. Samson does not have to go to a gym house to gym to win. Why? He was designed with inner gym. It was part of the adaptive features for his purpose. Every person, you have adaptive features for your purpose. You have the things that God has put inside of you for the fulfillment of your purpose. If you lead it and start doing what another person, I'll get there. Frustration will set in. So as soon as Samson left his place, he became an object of mockery. You saw what happened the other time when we looked at it. He started grinding pepper in the prison. Grinding pepper, grinding corn, you know. Samson of all people, Samson, bros. Samson, that if you see him, if you are coming like this and you see some, the Philistines, even if there are 1,000, if Samson is coming, they see him, they will enter the bush. When you are in your place of purpose, walls, mountains, they clear for you. But when you are not in your place of purpose, all manner of things will be falling on you. You'll be wondering and you'll be asking strange questions. Why? Because you are not where you ought to be. But I prophesy to someone here, after this message, you will make up your mind. You will insist on God's purpose for your life. What happens when you leave God's ordained place for your life? Number one, listen. You lose your comfort. You lose your rest. You lose your security. And you lose your sustenance. The eaglet will only be sustained as long as it remains in the nest where the mother eagle has kept it. If it leaves its place and wander away from its nest, it will die of starvation. When you leave your place of calling, when you leave the place where God has called you to, that's the kind of results that you will get. That's the kind of thing that will happen to that kind of life. As a nest provides comfort for a bird, so does God's ordained purpose for your life provide comfort for you. If you walk out or wander away from your purpose, you start experiencing discomfort. You become vulnerable to attack. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? You start struggling. You start experiencing anxiety and depression. Depression many times is as a result of it being in the wrong place, being with the wrong people, seeing the wrong things. Your purpose gives you you just need some time to just stay there. Your purpose gives you motivation. You wake up in the morning and you are sure that something good is going to happen to your life. You're excited. It's not like everything is all set, but you know. You have this assurance because the purpose is designed in such a way that it is supposed to be your motivator. When you want to give up, when you want to say, no, I'm tired, I'm not going to make this thing happen again, and there's a sniper on the table, when you just remember your purpose, you will stand up and be a sniper. And decide that sniper, you will not snipe me down. But when you don't know what your purpose is, you'll be asking yourself, what am I living for? Who am I? If you know who you are, you will never ask that kind of question. What is this life for? Why am I in this world? If God wants to take me, let him take me. Because people that say it like that, they don't take them, believe them. You don't even know. If you want to throw tantrums to God, just go and learn how to do it well. That one is not how to do it. He wants to take me away. God will say, why? That's why you will stay there. And if you take yourself, you're on your own. Are we here together, church? Number two, your God ordained purpose or place is the place of your flourishing, the place of your fruitfulness, the place of your establishment, and the place of your settlement. The Bible says they shall flourish. They shall they that dwell in the court of God, they shall be like the cedar of Lebanon. They shall flourish in the court of our God. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. He will be like a cedar of Lebanon. They that dwell in the house of God will flourish in his courts. Your purpose is the place where your flourishing is attached. If a tree is not flourishing, check where it is planted. There's a problem. Are you here with me? The place of your planting determines whether you flourish or you die. The place of your planting determines whether you advance or you retrogress. pastor, you must be aware of the fact that God is interested in ensuring that you stay in the place of your planting. Number three, it is your place of divine peace. He shall keep in perfect peace everyone whose heart is stayed in their place. Stayed in him. Why? Because he is now your place. Because all things will work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Anything you are called to that is not according to God's purpose, you struggle. You will not find peace. Are we here together? Is it making sense to someone tonight? Anything outside your purpose makes life look frustrating. If you try to force a fish to fly or you want to force an eagle to swim, then you will call the animal a stupid animal. But it's not stupid, it's just not in its place. Many people struggle whenever I see students getting multiple zeros as if it's an award. The question I usually ask sometimes is, sincerely, I have compassion on some people, but I just know that many of the times they are not in their place. If you are in your place, you just need little spark. Life will not be hard. I copied and copied and copied mathematics until my head started looking like C for copy. You know, when you start like C for copy. I said, God, I cannot continue like this. This thing will bend my neck. I finished and I was writing exams and I was still like that. And I had now gotten born again, you know, from GSS 3, and I didn't want to serve God like that. I wanted something better, but I was locked in because I don't know how they got me into SS1 and I was doing sciences. I don't know how. I don't know how I would have understood the Y, the X. I can't even understand how my life. Every time I see it, it's just, have you seen We All Are Stars in the Nature? The letters will be dancing. Just what is this? But that's where I found myself. I did it. 100, what do you call it? SS1. I did it, SS2. Every time I finish, I'll say, Lord, have mercy on me. And God will say, your mercy is only guaranteed when you lead this thing. I say, let's finish. We have started, we must finish this first. One day God spoke to me and he said, switch if you want to find peace. You need to be a child of God that learns to listen to the voice of God. God spoke to me through several people then, but I was too naive. I was very innocent, so I didn't understand. My teachers called me and said, no, not you. I said, why? He said, look at you. If you stand here and you do a debate, everybody's, their mouths, they're in awe. Everybody's wondering, where did this guy come from? And now you say you want to go and begin the YDX. Especially when you enter, when they are doing chemistry on the board. Something that's supposed to be practical, I read on the board. Chemical reaction, H2O reaction. You have never seen H2O. You don't understand anything on the board. H2O. They now draw arrow. Reversible, irreversible. What a life. Church, listen to me. I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant at that point for a fish to be outside water. It's frustrating. That's why I usually encourage people that are already in school and they're struggling. I encourage them, try and just finish. I never see you for once as stupid. I just see you made a stupid decision. But I won't tell you that way. Now I encourage you as a pastor. But in my mind, that's a stupid decision. Because sometimes we are trying to please somebody, you're trying to impress somebody, or those times where your parents did not fulfill their dream and they want you to be the one that will fulfill their dream. Somebody insulted your mother in the hospital and she came back home and said, well, Dr. Lomachela, yeah? What? Doctor, let me tell you, I know you're a star, you're a doctor, it's a lie. A young girl in the College of Medicine probably just did something and she didn't like it. So she felt like, if my daughter comes, then you that you are carrying your head jelly, and the only thing in your brain is how to sell something and multiply money. They now put you in that place. The journey of your frustration now begins. Like a bird outside his nest, so is the man that has wandered from his place. Are we here together, church? Holy Spirit, help. Ensure you do not wander from your place of calling. When you are in your place of calling, there are certain things that should kill you. They will not kill you. You'll be wondering why. Because you're in your place of calling. The things that kill other people cannot kill you. If a fish is inside water, if the eagle enters that water and they put the head inside, it will die. The fish will live inside the water and will live. Why? It has adaptative features to enjoy its environment. Carry a fish up like this. It has fins, is that not? The fins are there for flying. Nah. Birds have wings. The wings for the bird, eagle. Is it for swimming? No. That it looks like it doesn't mean it is it. It is it. Carry the fish and try to help the fish. Some of you people have tried to help you to your, they down killed you. You brought a fish out of the water, it's struggling on the floor. Put it back inside the water. If you carry the fish and try to help the fish, throw it up. By the time it lands, it will die. That's what happens in many lives. People who are trying to help you are not helping you. They are pushing you more to problem. Some of us may need to make U-turns today. I don't know how it is, but I know that God will be speaking to someone tonight. Joel chapter 2 verse 7 to 8. See what the Bible says there. Joel chapter 2 verse 7 to 8. Let me show you something about this army. Now this is the army that God said, the locust army. Now God said about them. He said they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone in his what? Give me amplified version. You can try. Just maybe they're not getting that. They run like warriors. They climb the wall like soldiers. They each march straight ahead. In what? In line. And they do not deviate from their calling, their path. They each march straight in line. They do not deviate. That this person is doing it. When we're in school, they usually do march pass. You cannot leave your own line and enter the line of another person. You are misbehaving. If your sense is correct, you stay on your track. No matter how fast you run in a relay, if you leave your track and enter that person's zone, you have been disqualified. No matter how fast you are doing what you are not called to do, at the end of the day, you'll be disqualified. This purpose matter is serious. Look at the next verse. See how they are immune. Because they are working in their own rank. They are immune. He said they do not crowd each other. Each one marches in his path. When they thrust through the defenses, that is weapons, when they like arrows come and hit them, they do not break ranks. Why? They are on their path. Another translation says that when they are pierced, it will not enter. It's not penetrate. It's as if they have immunity. You know why? They are on their path. They are on their path. When people cannot stand the test and pressure of certain things, and frustration hits them so hard, they are not on their path. If you are on your path and you have seen the end, no matter how tough it is here, you will get to the finish line. When people get frustrated and they move out and they say no, it's because they have not seen the glory ahead of them. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Yeah, my shame, my shame. I cannot sell the gi. Why am I still? It's for people. You have not known where you're going. If selling ogi will give you the resources to get there, you better sell it. Some of the people you sold ogi to now, and you eventually get to where they are going to, they might be the ones that will become your sales people later. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame? Are we here together, church? If you are called to speak, don't start cooking. If you are called to cook, don't start looking for a platform to speak. Later, you can talk about cooking. In fact, you may not even have any assignment to talk about anything. Imagine an evangelist comes now. You see, sometimes that's why I say some people, that's why when God plants you in a church like this, listen. You jump up and down, you hear an evangelist. And by the time you have no evangelist in the body of Christ, we love them, but their spiritual brain, the touch. Yes, it's true. Evangelists can scatter church. Pastors gather. Evangelists know how to bring in, they don't know how to keep. If an evangelist forces himself to pastor a church, he will scatter the church. If you listen to an evangelist when it has to do with your pastoral things, you will miss everything. Because the evangelist will say, why are you? You don't have to be there. Leave it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not move.
He maketh me to do what?
Lie down, not run away.
Evangelist is always jumping up and down. Me,
I'm on my assignment.
As an apostle, I have an evangelistic call. But the balance is in the pastoral that will not make me break rank with an evangelist. If I see an evangelist by excellence, I respect him. The way he will win souls, the way he will drive to win souls, I cannot drive like that. In as much as I drive and I do that, but he has a call to do that. It's in his place of assignment. You cannot beat a Billy Graham. No matter how large your church is as a pastor, whatever you're doing is your business. If Billy Graham is on the stadium, forget it. That's his calling. You can preach in your large crowd and only 10 people will come out. If Billy Graham does altar call, 3,000 will come out. You don't know what's bringing them out. It's his calling. He was designed for that purpose. Are we here together? During the wave of the healing revival, many of the pastors left their calling and started doing healing. They were forcing themselves to heal, by force. Billy Graham said no. You go for Billy Graham's crusades, one person may not be healed, but you get 3,000 saved. You don't. When you hear Billy Graham, you think it's salvation. Salvation. He's just talking about Jesus. Very simple things about Jesus. Just stay in one position like this. And by the time he's done, you see people shedding tears, rolling and begging God, crying from their... Before the altar call is made, they have called themselves to their own altar. Why? He's in his place of calling. That's why it doesn't make any sense to compare any person with any person. Doesn't make any sense. In as much as I like everybody, I am not anybody. Look at me. I am not anybody. Like, they are not me. I am not better. They are not better. Each one in their place, not breaking rank. What I must do, my competition is with myself and what God has called me to do. If I focus on what he has called me, I will grow in my calling. But if you leave what he has called you, you will not grow in your calling. And try to grow in another man's calling, you will not be able to grow, because that soil is not where you are designed to grow. Am I helping somebody tonight? As soon as Adam and Eve walked out of their place of calling, God said, Where are you? Where have you gone to? Because they have walked out. The children of Israel had covenants with God. Every time they went into a battle and God backed them up. No, you cannot. When children of Israel go to fight battle, you don't hear that they said 10 died. 10? If 10 died, you know what that number is? 10. 10 Israelite army. 10. Ah! It's a serious matter. When they say they won, most of the times one person is not missing. Have you not ever said we counted and none of them was missing? 1,000 men will go for battle. They can fight 10,000 people and not one will be missing. Why? They are in their place in the will of God. As soon as they deviate once, you see how the enemies will beat them. And as soon as they start experiencing that, they have common sense to know that God is not with us. That's why we are in this place. Are we here together? I want you to understand these things because it will help you so that you can find your place and enjoy what God is calling you to do. When Paul started his ministry, every time he would be rushing to the Jewish church. Jewish people, you cannot, that you are a Jew by birth. That, you know, Paul said a lot of things. If you call everybody, I'm a Jew. Jew by birth, Hebrew by this. Congratulations, you are not called to them. Every time he went to preach to the Jewish people, they flog him. Beat him. Get up. We drive him out. As soon as he decided that he would stay with the Gentiles, where God had called him to, doors started opening. They were just calling him everywhere. Oh yeah, bro, Paul, come. Oh yeah, bro, Paul, show up. Oh yeah, bro, everywhere. Peter decided to go and see Paul and went on a mission. He stayed for a while. When the other brothers came, he started changing. Campion. Paul said, calm down. It's not your calling. It's my calling. I can fit in here. After that day, Peter said, see, you know what? The same God that gave us apostleship to do this work to the Jews, he has given it to Paul to do to the Gentiles. I cannot come and kill myself. I'm going back to Jerusalem. He carried his bag and he went to settle. It's not his place of calling. Apostle Paul will say things like, oh, I did not baptize except the house of Stephanas. And is he your calling to baptize? Who sent him? Did you hear that he pastored the church and he stayed there? So let's move in from place to place. Pastors that baptize. It's not an apostle that is dropping up and down. As you finish praying, lead you to Christ today, before they talk about tomorrow morning to take you to the river, he says he's going to Macedonia. Before they wake up, he says he's going to Laodicea. So who will do the baptism? The pastor there will just gather them. So he wasn't saying that baptism was wrong. He was saying that that's not what my own calling is. Are we here together, church? Every man must know their calling and stay. The Bible says everyone should abide in their calling. Tell your neighbor, abide in your calling. Abide in your purpose. Abide in your place. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, they will be at peace with him. If the man is in the place where he's supposed to be, even his enemies, they will be at peace with him. That's how serious it is to abide in your calling. You cannot be in God's will and suffer unnecessary afflictions and satanic manipulations. If any morning shows up while you are in God's will, he will comfort you. Because he comforts those that mourn. But if you are mourning outside God's will, forget it, you don't get comfort. If I thought you get the comfort, you'll be a sister. You know why? Peter was speaking in the Bible and he talked about those people who are suffering affliction that they brought upon themselves. And those who are suffering affliction because they are on purpose doing the work of God. It's a different thing. There are certain afflictions, you brought it on yourself, you'll be it. But if the affliction is as a result of your calling and assignment, you will hear, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. As the voice you hear when you are in purpose. The three Hebrew boys, knowing their calling and assignment, they entered fire and fire could not burn them. Why? They entered their calling. The hefty guys, they called to put them inside fire. They got close to the fire. They roasted. When they roasted, they left the Hebrew boys on the floor. The Hebrew boys collected the key, opened it, enter. Fire no, because the Bible didn't say that those people were able to push them in. Before they got to the place they should have stayed, they were already burnt. It means that the three Hebrew boys decided, should we go back? Why should we go back? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Now, when you are in your place of calling, God is with you. When you are in your place of calling, you can beat your chest in the midst of anything. You might be trying, but you are convinced that you know him who has called you. You are persuaded that he is able to bring you out. That was Paul for you. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 20, 24, look at what Paul said. Let me show you a few things Paul said. I don't have so much of time, then I wrap up today. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 24. We are loving Jesus. Now we don't have time to love his word. But we love his word, don't worry. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my what? Life dear. Maybe their life is 2 years. My life. If you try to save your life, the Bible says you will do what? Lose it. In this kingdom, there is a metaphor. Lose your life and get your life. Save your life and lose your life. Well, write it down. Just go to, business center. Print this thing for me. Lose your life in God, save your life for destiny. Save your life in this world, lose your life. You'll not get it. A lot of people are trying to save their lives. You don't have to. Look at what Paul said. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count my life worth dear unto myself, so that I might do what? Finish my course with what? Joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What is the ministry? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, you know what he's saying? None of these things move me. Agabus the prophet had come. They had prophesied to him and said, bro, Paul, I saw chains in your hand. When you got to Rome, they've killed the man in Rome. Paul said, okay, thank you, prophet. God bless you. I like your prophetic ministry. It's okay, it's a confirmation of what God has said. A company of prophets gathered again and they said, we saw a man just like you. See what happened to the man. The man died when he got to Rome. And Paul said, as others began to cry, they were crying seriously. He said, you guys, you are breaking my heart. I read the Bible. Paul said, I said, you're breaking my heart. Stop crying. Why are you crying? He said, no, I have an assignment to testify of the grace of God. I am unkillable until I have done it. And all through his life, we did not hear that Paul died before his time. At a point, he was even having options. He said, I'm in a straight in between two options. Whether to live or to die. See, the person they said was going to die. As soon as he followed his purpose, death is running away. Death is after people that don't know anything about their purpose. where they're still men of purpose, he has no assignment with them. Why? Because God has put a mark on them. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of Jesus. So Paul went through his purpose throughout. They kept him in prison severally. He wanted to preach in the amphitheaters of Rome, but he couldn't preach there, so he started writing letters. Why? He had an assignment that three quarter of what we are going to be reading today as life must come from that man. No devil can kill a man that God has not finished with. Listen to me. No devil from any pit of hell can kill a man that God has not finished with. If God has not finished with you, you are undiable. I don't know if it's dictionary. Just take it like. If a trailer, you see trailer. If a man that God has not finished with stays and the trailer, 34 tire trailer, matches the man, and God said, I've not finished, we wake up again. It's unkillable, undying. You know why? There's a purpose attached to the man's life that the man is walking in. Jonah woke up and said, I'm running. Shark is not normal for a whale. You just eat the person, and after eating the person, now give you food inside. So the whale swallowed some fish that Jonah will roast inside the stomach of the whale. So he went on 3 days fish fast. 3 days fish fast. By the time he was done, he and God finished negotiating. He now said, nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. God said, Willie, take him back. By the time the whale got to the seashore, Jonah said, why didn't you eat me? He said, me? I don't have a mandate to eat you. Why? You are undiable. Your purpose is on your head. I pray for somebody by the reason of the purpose that God has attached to your life. Nothing will be able to harm you. I say you are unstoppable. Depression will not stop you. Fear will not stop you. Anxiety and worries will not stop you. You will stand tall in the place of your calling. In the name of Jesus, from today's service, develop boldness to stand in the place of your assignment. From today's service, when you walk out of here, you are developing passion, confidence, boldness, authority, audacity to stand in the place of your calling, in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 22. See Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:22. Let me show you things. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seeds of Abraham? So am I. Go ahead. Let's continue. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in strife, above measure. This guy. You know what he's saying? He said, if they have beaten them before, they beat me more. I will enjoy the beating. For the sake of my word, my calling. Of the Jews, 5 times received I how many? 40 stripes minus one. Why? Because in the Jewish system, when they want to scourge you, they will do 39. Each 39 represents one round of scourging. So they scourged him 39, 5 times. And the scourging is not scourging with the regular type of animal koboko you're talking about. Those scourging, they usually put some stones inside. So Paul said, he did this. I count it all but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my God, the one whom I have forsaken everything for. I'll follow him till I die. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. You know what that means? Think about it. He drowned. The water could not kill him. He was in the stomach of the water without fins and without gills, without what fishes had, and he stayed there for 24 hours after he floated again. Die now, he refused to die. He's undiable. You know why? He's a bearer of an assignment that is bigger than himself. He must bear witness in Rome. Until he has appeared in Rome, he has not finished his assignment. Do you remember another time they went to a city called Lystra where they went there and they stoned? And when they finished stoning, they thought Paul was there. By the time they left, Paul just woke up again. Man, Superman. And he continued. A man of purpose is not easily frustrated. You see all this cry of, I'm tired, I can't do it again, I can't take it anymore. It's because you are not in purpose. If you are in purpose, you will see the reason to take more. In journeying, often in peril of water, in peril of robbers, in peril by my own country, that's criticism from my own family people, in peril by the hidden, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril amongst false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, is different from in fasting. So there were days he wanted to eat, but there was no food to eat. So he didn't declare fasting. He told God, I'm not fasting, but there's no food. I'm not pretending that I'm fasting. All those you're fasting are turning to hunger. Tell God the truth. That this one, God, is not fasting. I'm hungry. If the raven bring the food, I'll eat it. But he waited and waited. The ravens didn't bring food. And God said, sleep, wake up. We'll continue the journey. And because he was a man of purpose, he was never defeated. I told you that one of the things you achieve in this church is that I will try as much as possible to train you very hard in the school of spiritual hard knocks. No devil can knock you down there. You become too dogged. The devil will be afraid. What kind of person is this? And when you rise to a particular point in your life, you would have risen above those kind of things. When they are happening, you will not know they happen. Some things will happen and you'll be wondering, what happened? They say, what happened? He said, we were looking for 10 billion. Say, from whose account? Say, from your own. And I say, hey, when did he 10 billion? How? Who took it? He said, one of the staff that was working, he ran away with 10 billion. I don't know. If you take a cup of water from the ocean, can you dry the ocean? Some time ago, they went to tell Bill Gates. I heard that they told Bill Gates about Computer Village, that they have pirated all the whole Microsoft software. That's what they are doing. Nigerians are serious pirates. That they use all the CDs they use to restore their computer. Fake! They told Bill Gates. Guess what they said? Bill Gates said, still let them continue. There's nothing they can do about it. That is not issue. That let that be his contribution to humanity. In other words, if you like, if the whole of your nation pirates, it does not affect one dime that will come to me. Levels and dimensions. In watching often, in hunger, thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares. That's my concern for the churches that I have planted. That they will stand perfect in the will of God. I'm seriously concerned. That's what Paul is saying. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And you think that me, I've not gone through the same thing. If I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my what? Infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I do what? I lie not. Listen to me, church. When you are in the path of your purpose, certain things cannot happen to your life. By divine purpose, you are escaping destruction in the name of Jesus. No devil can stop you again in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ entered the temple and he said something. They carried stone to stone him. As they carried the stone, he disappeared. He was still in the midst of them. The Bible said he just walked around and they could knock him. Every time you are on purpose, certain things cannot happen to you. Another time, the Bible says he came and he told them, he said, before Abraham, I am. He said, what? They carried stones. As they were looking for him, the Bible didn't say he just jumped off. The Bible didn't say he teleported. He walked in their midst. In other words, he became invisible. He passed. And the guy was carrying stones. Where is he? And he looked like him. Where is he? And he walked away. Why? He was safeguarded by his purpose. Listen, don't play with your purpose. If you are in your calling and your place of assignment, nothing will move you. Not a single day of my life have I envied any of my friends or colleagues that is doing a secular job anywhere. Never. I have never had to look at them on their status and say, what am I doing here? Never. Never. No need. There's nothing they are doing that is more important than what I'm doing. What they are doing is as important as their calling is. What I am doing is as important as my calling is. Time will not permit me to go further, but let me say these things
before we wrap up. Your success is not tied to a location or a business that is in vogue. It is in your place of assignment. Did you hear that? I just spoke to somebody. Your success is not tied to a particular location or a business that is in vogue. Your success is in the place of your calling and your assignment. Don't leave the place where God has put you to serve and start looking out everywhere. No. Stay in the place of your calling. Your allocation will meet you there. Purpose safeguards your destiny. Number one, because God leads a man of purpose by himself. Psalm 23 said, it's very clear there. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art what? With me. Number two, whatever God... Purpose safeguards your destiny because whatever God commands you to do, he commands his angels to go with you. Exodus chapter 23 verse 20, the Bible says he commanded his angels to go with him. Look at this. Exodus chapter 23 verse 20. 23, 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, as long as you are in the way, and to bring thee to the place which I have what? Prepared. To bring you to the nest which I have prepared. To bring you to the nest. If you wander away from this nest, the angel will leave you. The angel of God's presence remains with you if you are in the place of your calling. If you are not there, it's not there with you. You are vulnerable. Number three, God will direct anyone following him on the path of purpose. Isaiah 30:21 said, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's why you must be on your purpose. So Pastor Mavis, how do I stay on my purpose? You want to know it? You want to know it? Should we close here? Should I just spend like 3 minutes telling you? Number one, insist on God's purpose for your life. Insist. No matter what is happening, say, God, nothing but your purpose. Nothing but your will. Nothing but your plan. I'm not interested in what is in vogue. I'm not interested in where everybody is going. I'm interested in where you are asking me to go. I'm interested in what you are asking me to do. If it is not your will, I don't want it. Anything you cannot give me, let it not be given to me. Anything you cannot afford, I don't want to have it in my life. I stay in your will, your plan, and purpose. If you insist, God will spoil you with heavenly resources. You'll be shocked. As soon as you lose taste for the mundane, you will start experiencing the beauty and the joy of your ordination. Lose taste. So number one, take note of that. Insist on God's purpose for your life. Number two, never compare yourself with those other people or try to do what everyone is doing. There will always be a wave that is blowing everywhere. Oh, everybody's into fashion now. Everybody's into real estate now. Everybody's into planting now. Everybody's into tomato farm now. Everybody can be into anything. Everybody will get everybody's result. A person who knows what he was doing will get the result of a man of destiny. Purpose, clarity. That everybody is doing it doesn't mean you are called to do it. Ask God first. And if God says that's what you are called to do, you will lead in that field. You hear what I just said? See, but that's what everybody is doing. So, the day they have God created you, did you put everybody on your forehead? Some people will stick to what God has called them to do. And their elevation will come from that point. Their promotion. Promotion cometh neither from the east or from the west. He said, the Bible says promotion cometh from where? From above. And he that is above all. If you are not engraved for an assignment, if you venture it, you will end up being a disgrace. That was what God told me. That was my gist. If you are not engraved for an assignment, if you have not been given grace to do a particular thing, if you venture it, you will be disgraced. You know what happened? God said, I didn't say anything. If you are not engraved for an assignment, if you push yourself into it, you'll be disgraced. I pray you will not push yourself into what you are not called to do. Part time, you will always stick to what God has called you to do. In the name of Jesus. It shocked me today when I realized that. So why is it that there's nobody, honey of my friend, that I'm interested in envying whatever anybody's doing? I know some of them that have traveled abroad, some of them that have been wanting to do that, some of them that are grabbing some good pay and driving news, powerful cars, are not a 0.001 iota of envy for any of them. Never.
Never. 2003 till today, I have never worked for anybody. I don't know why. And I've never had a reason to beg anybody. Nobody. Sometimes I even ask. You know, family relationship. When you have family relationship, where you are vulnerable to ask people things. That is the highest thing I can ask my siblings. Just let's talk. Let's do Christmas. But any human being that is born of a woman, I have never had to ask any person, I am sorry, I need help. Help me. Personally, I've never had to ask anybody, I need help. There's no way in my life, supernaturally, God will find a way to show up. I have never personally had to ask anybody like that. I can't remember any. If I remember one now, I'll tell you. If I remember tomorrow, in my next preaching, I'll tell you I remember one person. I'll tell you. I'm not remembered anymore. Finally, when you sense God is not with you, when you sense your decision is wrong, do a U-turn. No matter how long you have gone on the wrong direction, be humble enough to do what? A U-turn. In these days of public proposal of relationship, publicly, the worst thing that can happen to you is to do a public proposal and discover that it's wrong and you refuse to unpropose. You better come back and do a public unproposal and say what we agreed, we have disagreed. We have disengaged the engagement. If you fail and you enter, even when you see all the flags, you will suffer affliction. Not everybody can marry anybody. The kind of people that can marry me, they are very scarce. They are not plenty around. I'm not very normal. There are times where I carry my book and I'm studying. If my wife comes, she will go back. What are you looking for? I didn't force her. I didn't say I don't love her. But it's not a time to be like this. Everything is in that place. By the time I leave that place, we start tickling ourselves around. But when I'm there, when I am there, there are times you don't need anybody to give you signs and you just look at the person's face. You will not greet, you just move. Because the greeting at that time, I can't answer you, but I don't know what I'm answering at that time. Tell everybody that you can marry. Tell everybody you can stay with. Are you going to say? In the beauty and the sweetness of my relationship and marriage, my wife has cried more than every other person. One of my sons said he was crying the day I scolded him about something. I said, my wife cried like 1,000 times. When we finish crying, we use the cry and just rub it on our face together. I said, let's continue until I get to the finish line. If she loved perfectly, if you move around that, you know that love is smelling on her. Move around, you know. If I tell her I'm not interested again like this, she will go and beg God and say, God, why? Don't do this. Even before the marriage, I already told her sometimes, say, let's not do it again. She said, eh, you know, as the marriage is like this now, she doesn't. She is the spec designed for me. I would have had marital crisis if I had married some other strangers. There are some people when you talk one, they talk 20. If I say something before she talks, she will take her time. She will now come to me and say, and when I hear her time taking advice, I say, this is the woman ordained for my destiny. You don't do your head like this. I'm not here. You hit the rock. Boom. Because if she takes her time to speak something, he enters here. I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's there. I've never had a reason. I like to marry. Man of God. If you don't know what it means to see the man of God always flocked around with many people and your eye of jealousy will not drop, don't go there. No, they asked the pastor's wife one time, what is keeping you in this marriage? She said it is the status that she's called pastor's wife.
You're struggling with a business because you entered it carelessly, copycat. Please do a U-turn and ask God, what do you want me to do? When everybody started doing pure water, everybody entered. Some people are not doing pure water again. Yeah, now they did pure from pure water, they did poor water, from poor water, they did no water. From no water, scarcity of water. If God has not sent you on something, don't go there, you suffer. Some people will sell granite and they'll build houses. Just granite. Some people will sell vegetable. Huh? You see vegetable. They will buy choice properties, build nice houses, and be established. In the place of your purpose, there lies your security. There lies your advancement. There lies your flourishing. Rise on your feet, let us pray. You will pray tonight like someone who understands the need for this prayer. I won't take the prayer session long because our time is overshot already. But you will pray passionately from your heart. Listen to me. Frustration in life is as a result of lack of direction. When you are on the right course, even when things are tough, there will be an inner joy inside telling you you are on course. When you are not in the right place, bitterness, everything, frustration, you will hate everybody. I've had people who came to me and told me, man of God, God sent me to you. By the time we had some interaction and I looked at them like this, they came and said, I'm sorry, sir. I changed my mind. I said, change your mind. You are not called to do it. You're not called to do it. You're going to pray and say, God, help me never to wander away from my purpose. Never to wander from my purpose. Never to wander from my calling. Never to wander from my assignment. May I not wander into wrong places. May I not wander into wrong businesses. May I not wander into wrong assignments. May I not wander into wrong marriages. May I not wander into wrong relationships. Are you praying like this? Is that how to pray? Is that how to pray? Lift up your voice. Let me hear you say, dear Father. I can hear you shout it. Dear Father. Tonight, I seek your help. Your help. Never to wander from my purpose. May I not wander from my calling. May I not wander from my assignment. May I not wander to the wrong place. May I not wander into the wrong business. May I not wander to the wrong relationship. Open your mouth and begin to pray right now. Rateya parada. Raneko satarabada. I will not wander out of your calling.